This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, August 15th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a different kind of arts camp being held in the Chicago area. And we'll have a look at your weekend forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Earlier this week, Illinois law judges recommended that Ameren raise its power and natural gas delivery rates by more than $160 million. But any impact on customers' bills won't be known for a while. Illinois' Commerce Commission is expected to rule on the changes by September 30th. An Ameren spokesman, Lee Morris, says the company can justify some hike because of continued efforts to promote energy efficiency while dealing with declining revenues. But the Citizens Utility Board says the request couldn't come at a worse time given the struggling economy. Spokesman Jim Chilson says a profit coming from the suggested increase would be excessive.
We would argue that the company doesn't need that big of a rate hike to remain healthy. You know, at the same time that they say that their utilities aren't doing well, their parent company is sailing. It's doing very well, and it just doesn't pass the smell test, you know, to say that, well, our parent company's doing great, but our utilities aren't doing very well. You know, how is the company managing the resources that it has?
Chilson says Ameren could only justify a rate hike of about $60 million at best. Meanwhile, Ameren says customers should expect to pay 20 to 30% more for the natural gas portion of their bills compared to last year's winter heating season. Chilson says the fluctuation of the market should prompt an investigation at the federal end to see why Ameren and other utilities are paying so much for natural gas. Illinois' unemployment rate grew to 7.3% in July. That's the highest level since September 1993. Economist Mitch Daniels is with the Illinois Department of Employment Security.
For most of this year, the Illinois economy has weathered the national economic storm really fairly well. For June and July, a lot of it was the Illinois economy just not being able to stand up in the face of that national economic turmoil any longer.
Officials say the number of unemployed hit a 16-year peak with more than 491,000 people out of work. While conservative and moderate Republicans have struggled in the past, party leaders say they've come together to create an agenda of legislative priorities. Amanda Vinicky has more on Republican rallying in Springfield yesterday.
The platform includes things like property tax relief, making college tuition affordable, and allowing the recall of elected officials. However, Democrats control every top office in Illinois state government, meaning there's little opportunity for Republicans to push their agenda through. And with Illinois' junior senator Barack Obama as the Democratic presidential nominee, November's election could mean even fewer seats for the Illinois GOP. Party chairman Andy McKenna says he's not so sure that state Democratic candidates will ride Obama's coattails.
Senator Obama's lack of leadership in Illinois should be called to task. And when we go out and run these local races and talk about the failure of Democratic leadership, we think we're going to say, what has change meant in Illinois? What has Democratic change meant?
Illinois GOP leaders say that while Democrats are too busy fighting to get anything accomplished, their party is unified enough to make things happen. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Other policies on the Republican agenda include balancing the state budget, ethics legislation, and creating laws to protect domestic violence victims and to protect children from online predators. 150 acres in Piatt County is no longer University of Illinois property. The land will join another 650 acres now owned by the State Department of Natural Resources. It's all part of the former Robert Allerton estate that once covered thousands of acres. DNR Realty Director Tom Flattery says the land includes about six environmentally sensitive acres bordering the Sangamon River.
And it's high-quality river because it's buffered. It doesn't have a lot of erosion from farming because there is still a lot of the canopy and the timber there. So, you know, there's mussels there. There's, you know, a couple state species. There's multiple species and birds.
U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says the $750,000 the DNR paid for the land will go into an endowment fund that helps support Allerton Park, which is nearby. He says most of the acreage is floodplain that wasn't producing revenue for the university. Yesterday marked the 63rd anniversary of VJ Day, when Japan announced its surrender to the Allies and World War II officially ended. Local veterans groups marked the day with a ceremony in downtown Urbana. AM 580's Jim Meadows spoke to a World War II veteran in attendance.
Bill Carr of Urbana enlisted in the Army in January of 1941, thinking he'd be out in a year. But the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor 11 months later, and Carr was shipped overseas. He was among the troops who fought the Japanese for control of Henderson Airfield on Guadalcanal Island.
First thrust we made at them, I'll use the word thrust, they pushed us back, clear back to the ocean. We reassembled, gave us about 20,000 more troops, and we took another shot at them, and then we run them out. That's what we were there for.
Carr was wounded in the Guadalcanal campaign and eventually shipped home, but he remembers many who didn't make it back.
A lot of boys died there my age, 18 now. I'm just 18, 19 years old. It's terrible.
Carr was among about 60 people, veterans and others, who turned out for the VJ Day ceremony in Urbana. It's the second year the ceremony has been held at the Veterans Memorial outside the Champaign County Courthouse. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. At first glance, hands together, heart to heart, seems like your typical art camp. It's a day camp held each summer at Chicago's Auditorium Theater at Roosevelt University. But the kids who come are anything but typical. They've all lost at least one parent. And the regular camp staff, the singing and dancing and putting on plays, is just part of a healing experience that camp organizers hope to see replicated in other cities. Lynette Kalsness has this report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to camp!
Camp director Nicole Lasordo looks around at the children in front of her. They wear sparkly barrettes and band-aids. There are 46 in all, from age 6 to about 12, and every single one of them has lost one or both parents. The welcome speeches last just 2 minutes and 6 seconds.
So, I think we should maybe get this party started. What do you think? I think so. Okay. Here we go.
These kids' parents died from cancer, car accidents, suicide, and even murder. Some of them sit quietly with arms pulled in tight to their bodies, and they just look around. The camp counselors go to the kids who aren't dancing and twirl them around. Soon, there's only a handful still watching and waiting.
It gives them an outlet. It gives them a way to express themselves without necessarily having to stand up and shout, you know, I lost my father or I lost my mother.
Brett Batterson runs the Auditorium Theater. He started the camp because his father died when he was a kid. He says the arts saved him. During camp, kids take dance, music, and theater. They also attend small group sessions with therapists. Batterson believes it's the only arts camp just for kids who have lost a parent.
It all comes down to we want the kids, no matter how sad they may be at the when they enter the camp, to leave the camp happier, to understand that the world is still a beautiful place for them to grow up.
It's day two, and a circus group is here to boost the kids' confidence and teamwork. Circus Steam shows them how to juggle.
Bravo!
Within minutes, the children are the ones juggling, walking on balls, and twirling plates on sticks. But the highlight is a giant wheel that spins them high in the air.
Oh my gosh!
You want to give us a one-handed wave?
Candace Suber and another girl giggle as they watch one of the boys. Candace is 10. Her mom died in a car crash when she was 3. Candace says she misses her mom.
I talked to myself, and they asked me who you're talking to, and I said my mom, because I don't have nobody else to talk to.
Does it make you feel better when you talk to your mom?
Yeah, it makes me feel better and makes me feel like she's there for real.
One of the things Candace likes about camp is sharing her memories.
I cry sometimes because I really miss my mom and I wish she was there to take care of us more than my dad is doing, but my dad's trying to work hard just like she did before she died.
Another camper, Benton Belzer, says he used to be really mad. He's 11 and his dad died of cancer when he was 6.
He had this beard and mustache and stuff,
Then anytime he kissed me, it was like it tickled a little, and then I cried every time that I think of that.
His mom, Donna McVeigh, says before Benton and his sister attended camp for the first time, they were stuck on questions like, why us, and when's dad coming back?
They were just so angry at God, and they were angry at me, and they were angry at him, and I really do feel like after that summer and after seeing that other kids felt the same way and that it was okay to feel that way, that they were able to ask other questions. Like, where do we go from here? And is it okay? Do I not feel guilty because I'm having fun?
Benton says camps helped him find creative ways to get his mind off things. One of his creations is a comic strip with the superhero Toast Boy.
Toast Boy knows how to do anything that a household object can do.
How does he do this if he's toast?
He usually is, like, protecting his own head. His weakness is burning up like burnt toast.
Coming to you live from the land of toast and butter.
Now Benton and his superhero have a starring role. He and the other kids at camp created a play based on his comic strip with help from Child's Play Touring Theater. Toast Boy and Butter Kid stop the evil villains by throwing skim milk on them.
Butter Kid says, hey, Toast Boy, that's where we're from.
In the room next door, students from the Chicago College of Performing Arts teach songs for the big show. Another day brings a more somber note to camp. The kids write messages to their dead parents and send them up in balloons.
All right, three, two, one!
The campers watch as the balloons rise toward the skyline. They express concern when a few white balloons seem to fall, then cheer as they go up again. As the balloons rise, Marion Williams asks her parents for a sign they're still with her. Both died about 4 years ago.
I was mad. I didn't want to talk to none of my family members because they didn't know what it was like to lose both of my parents.
Marion says she didn't open up until a healing session her first year of camp. This is her third year now, and she's a junior counselor. Many of the kids return year after year. The organizers acknowledge there's only so much you can do in 2 weeks. In fact, a handful of kids drop out before it's over. But the organizers point to the kids' progress over the years as evidence the arts can help. That's why they hope to spread the camp to other cities to help more of the nearly 2 million American children who have lost a parent. Marion has a message for these kids.
If you lose a mom or a dad or both, you are going to feel very mad. You're going to hate everybody. You're going to hate the world. You're probably not going to want to live, but just know that that's the phase, and you will be okay, and you will come out on top.
Just a few days later, it's time for the final show. The audience fills up with surviving parents and the aunts, uncles, and grandparents that many of the children live with now. Drama teacher Emma Kaywood gives Samantha Flory a pep talk.
We're going to do it awesomely.
Yeah, perfect.
We're going to do the best job that we can do, okay?
The best job.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Never has to be perfect. Just has to be awesome.
One of the boys, Tavante Grandjean, says he's really nervous.
Sit down and relax.
I got a puke, man.
I don't feel like seeing pizza that you've thrown up.
But it hurts.
Then it's time to go on. The kids file on stage. Their faces light up as they spot their families. Their voices become louder and their bows more extravagant. They finish up with a song they sang so tentatively just a week ago. Their families wipe away tears. Then they greet the children with big hugs. I'm Lynette Kalsnes, Chicago Public Radio.
The forecast for the region, mostly sunny skies today, the high around 80. Mostly clear this evening, the low around 55. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 82. Mostly clear tomorrow evening, the low 55, sunny skies Sunday, the high around 82, partly cloudy Sunday night through Monday night, the low is around 62, the high is around 85. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, August 15th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.